Glory to the Lord. We'll ask the Lord to bless our time together today. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I'm asking you right now to just bless our Bible study, our lesson this morning. Father, just help us to each one get something good from it. Dear Father, help us just to realize what Jesus Christ did for us when he died on that cross, how he gave himself. Oh, Lord, he was treated like an old outlaw. He was treated terribly, Father, worse than the other men that were right there on the crosses beside him. And yet he willingly did that for us. And how precious that is, Father. We are thanking you today. We pray you will bless each person here today as we hear the word of God. Help us to all learn something wonderful, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, hallelujah. So Jesus suffering for us. What did Jesus' death do for us? What did it do for us? We know, don't we? If I ask any one of you here today, and I ask you, what good did it do for Jesus to die on that cross? I think almost anyone here today can say, it brought about salvation for anyone who will receive the Lord as their Savior, who will by faith accept Jesus as their Savior. That's what Jesus did for us all. We're going to turn to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Now, we know that there are many texts that we could look at. We could look back in the Gospels and talk and read about Jesus being on the cross. And most of us understand that Jesus died on that cross. He gave his life for us. It wasn't taken from him. He could have at any moment during that time have said, enough. And God the Father would have just taken him up to heaven. That would have been it. But he loved us so much that he was willing to die that horrific death, a horrible death, where they just horribly wicked during that time, weren't they? The Romans and all of the Jews that shouted and screamed and said, you know, away with him, we don't want him, we don't believe, you know, we want him crucified. They started screaming, crucify him, crucify him. Oh, my goodness, what a terrible ordeal. So we're going to begin reading in 2 Corinthians 5:14. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So Jesus Christ's love, it constraineth us. Do you know what that means? It holds us together. And we can look at that in two different ways. By our loving the Lord Jesus Christ like we do here, and we worship him because he died for our sins, we love him so much. It's just something that holds us together, doesn't it? And as we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we just give ourselves to him, and we love him so much, and we are so thankful for what he did. And for all he is now, do you know that he sits at the right hand of God interceding for us right now? He cares about each one of us as an individual. And you might think, well, how could he do that? Well, he's the Son of God. That's how he can do that. He can think about any of us at any time and all the time. Just asking God the Father to bless us in some beautiful way. And so it says, for we know. We know this. Hallelujah. That's what it says in the first verse. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It means it holds us together. What holds us together in this assembly is that we love Jesus. You didn't come here just to love one person or something like that. You come because you love Jesus. Hallelujah. And so the love of Christ holds us together. Because we thus judge. In other words, it's our opinion. That's that. If you look up these words, I do this all the time. So when I tell you that's what it means, it does. This word judge is written in Greek. It says that it's our opinion. Thus, our opinion is that if one died for all, then we're all dead. All of us were dead in trespasses and sins. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2:1. We are all dead in trespasses and sins. I'm just going to turn there quickly. What it says, for you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's where we were. We could not make it to heaven. There is no way you and I can make it to heaven just by being good. You know, say, well, I'm going to be good. God has to bless me. It's by salvation. This is the plan of God that has been given to the whole world is that the person who needs the Lord needs to come and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their life. They need to be born again in a new spiritual way so that they follow the Lord with all their might. And if one died for all, then we're all dead. And all of us were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And that's an important thing. Once we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, we shouldn't be living for ourselves. Everything's just for me, you know, and I got to make all this money and I got to do all this stuff and I don't have time for God. Because once we are born again, it's very important for us to let the Lord be number one in our life, to follow him and walk with him and yield before him. And so he died for all, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So we can ask ourselves, do we live for God or do we live for ourselves? Am I more interested in what things I do and what I can achieve in a natural life? Or do I love Jesus Christ so much that I want to follow him? I will let him be number one in my life. It's important. He wants us to be that way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So going on down now to verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. In the original, it says creation. He is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So it says man, but it means mankind. And you know, salvation is just for the man. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that every person in this human race can come and know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They can say, I want Jesus in my life, and pray, and he will just come right in. His Spirit will come in to our life. Praise the name of Jesus. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. What does that mean? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God begins a work. And he changes us. One scripture says that we're changed into his likeness. So what kind of a person was Jesus? I didn't live at that time. But I know from the word of God that he was a very wonderful, sweet, precious person who loved everyone and sacrificed greatly for their help, for help them in some way. Healing the sick, raising the dead, all the things he did, he loved us so much way back then, and he loves us here in this life we live in. He loves us just like he did in the olden days when the scripture writes that for us. So praise the Lord. He is a new creation. We have become a child of God. We're not just that old person that, you know, got saved or got even brought into this life way back there. But praise the Lord, God's beautiful salvation came our way. And how precious that is to know him. Then it says, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, what passed away is that when we know Jesus is our Savior, we are no longer the child of the devil. We are no longer full of sin because Jesus has saved us. He gave us a new name in heaven. The scripture says written right there in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our name is written there. And he doesn't have a big old eraser to erase us off. The Bible never talks about God erasing our name from that wonderful book of life. we have a name there that is written, and it is for eternity. You know, Jesus himself said, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So what is everlasting life? It means that it keeps on going on, keeps on going on, keeps on going on. That's what it means, and that is what Jesus did for us. Oh, praise the Lord for that. And so, the old things, now when we are first saved, we have a lot of old things, don't we? But, and sometimes it just takes a little while for those old things to just start going away, you know? And we have this new life in us, and as we yield to that new life of Christ, and we just follow the Lord, you know, we read the Word, we come to the meeting, so we hear the Word, all of those good things that help us to grow and be stronger, those are the things that are going to make us a change to start coming in our life. And so, how beautiful that the Lord has provided that. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That is so beautiful. That's what we have in Christ. Verse 8, 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, he's reconciled us. Okay, what does that mean? It's what the word itself means is the moving from a place of separation, hurt, and brokenness to a place of healing, wholeness, forgiving, forgiveness, and reunion. That's what the Lord did for us when he reconciled us. We didn't belong to him before we knew the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We were just people of the flesh, people of the world, those kind of things. And when Jesus came in, he reconciled us. He took us as his child, and he just brought us on over, moved us on over to this place of separation from the world, from all the hurt and the brokenness and all the stuff that happens in the world to us. And there's not a one of us here that hadn't had some bad thing happen to us. I know that because the things just do. They just happen because of the evil world we live in. But he brought us, even though we were hurt and broken, to a place of healing, wholeness, forgiveness, and reunion. God our Father. What a precious thing that is to think about God who loves us. He loved us so much, he sacrificed his son for us. That's how much he loved us. Praise the Lord. It's so wonderful, isn't it? And notice that last part of that verse 18, he hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And there it has a meaning of liberty and restoration. So we meet people all the time. This act that God does is a gift of God who brought us back to himself through Jesus Christ. I'm not reading somebody else's notes. I'm reading my notes, okay? So you know when I'm reading this is because I sit down and write when I'm working on things. But I want to stress this to you, that he brought us to himself through Jesus Christ. He restored the friendly relationship that he wanted through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of these words, when we look them up in the original, you know, books that I have that we study what the Greek word means, we come to find out there's a lot more to it than just saying, oh, well, he reconciled us. Well, what does reconcile means? So he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what that scripture says. The ministry, I think all of us realize when you say minister, you expect that person to be working pretty hard, don't you? I mean, I have all my life. I have a long genealogy of ministers in my meeting, in my whole lifetime, you know, span. And I know the work that there is for the ministry, but it's so important. Hallelujah. It is so important. And you might think, well, I don't do much for the Lord. But you can ask him to use you and to help you with other people. Be a witness for Christ. Be a person who helps other people when they're sick. They need prayer and different things, you know, helping one another. And that is so beautiful. That is, is a real blessing, a gift from God, that God will let us restore friendly relationships and things, that, and settle differences with other people, and all those beautiful things. The ministry of reconciliation. What would we do if we didn't have that? Another meaning of it is adjustment and restoration to the divine favor. So, you know, I'm not going to ask you this question because I know the answer already. We could say, have any of us sinned in our lifetime? Ha! We don't have to ask that. We're human beings. Each of us have done something that was not right with the Lord or whatever, or maybe even before we knew the Lord. But praise the Lord that He has given us Christ as our Savior, and we are born again. And we find peace that is just without understanding. Peace, the peace of God. Let's go on down to verse 19. He says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their transgressions unto them, or their trespasses unto them, and He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And that little word wit, W-I-T, is just the word so, S-O, to so that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Just as what we said already about being reconciled. Not imputing our own righteousness, our own sins to us, but His righteousness coming into our life. Praise the Lord. Not counting people's sins against them. If they have received the Lord Jesus Christ, He commits this. He appoints it unto us, the word of reconciliation. Hallelujah. He says, this is my child. And because this is my child, this child has eternal life. That's what the scripture says to us. We are children of the living God. We have eternal salvation in the Lord. Our part is to walk with God, yield to God, let Him just be number one in our life. And what joy, what peace. Peace, oh, how much we need peace. Always big trials, aren't there? Always something going on. But God is so faithful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's look at verse 21. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So what was it that Jesus had to do? He didn't know any sin. He was a pure, wonderful child of God, not of the human flesh and of the wickedness of this world. How sinful was the sin He became? And this is just something I wrote. All the filthy, rotten, horrid, demon-inspired ungodliness that has ever been manifested in the world was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's hard, isn't it? Just think of how He carried all of that sin in His own self on that, and was carried, beaten so horribly, and that old crown of thorns on His head with the blood running down, carrying that big old cross. Praise the Lord. Now I'm just going to cut this short because we do have communion. Isaiah 53:12 says, He hath poured out His soul to death. He was numbered with the transgressors. It's like He was a sinner. God allowed Him to die like He was a sinner. And He heard this, and He bare the sins of many, and many intercessions for the transgressors, and made intercessions for the transgressors. So Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Imagine that, hanging on that cross with all of that suffering. He'd have to push up on His feet because He couldn't breathe. And yet He cries out to His Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Brother Zelensky, I never can remember who who did this before, so Brother Zelinski, if you want to come up, we're going to have communion. We'll be singing a song and want all of us just to think and meditate upon Jesus, how he died for us, how he... Have you ever thought about it really sincerely about why he would want to die for us? He wanted children. He wanted people in heaven, didn't he? That it would worship him for eternity. Glory to God.